the Biden administration, along with much of the mainstream media, was lying about the number of Ukrainians who were dying in the war. And now we're seeing they're having a shortage of young men. There's these horrific videos coming out of Ukraine where they're kidnapping them off the streets. Their moms, their wives are being thrown to the ground and sprayed with mace while their loved ones get taken away. I'm wondering, have you seen these videos? Because the mainstream media is also not reporting on those. And if you haven't seen them, could I send them to Stephen Chung or another member of your staff to show you?
And I'll put them out. But I know about the videos. I heard about them very strongly. Look, it's a war that should have never happened. If the election weren't rigged in 2020, that war would have never happened.
Well, hello, that's me again. Today is September 3rd, 2026. It is Thursday. And what you see in the beginning are two very remarkable events, actually. And one of them, obviously, that even the mainstream media whores in the United States begin to actually notice that, well, 50,000 KIAs in 4.5 years by Ukrainian side somehow do not add up. And so Mr. Trump has been actually, well, informed, and he suddenly says that, oh, he understands. Well, I can tell you one thing immediately, that and I repeat it again and again and again, and I will repeat it also ad nauseam. The biggest state secret in the United States is its military weakness and, of course, the reality of the pulverization of the best proxy combined West ever had after Hitler. And so when we talk about what is the real number, well, I can tell you that the real number is really bad, and it has been already stated many times, including from people from the top of Russian military, basically top brass, that, yeah, 3 million, and we don't even know the exact number, and the situation is catastrophic there. And when you look at, for example, this thing, this is the young girl, well, not young girl, just the girlfriend, tries to save her, buddy, her boyfriend, and from being busified, that's how it's called, busification, in Ukraine, by Tetsaka, being kidnapped from the street, and one of the Tetsaka guys tells her, don't worry, you will follow soon enough after him. They're drafting, which is, that means kidnapping women from the streets in Ukraine and being thrown into this meat grinder is, well, in plans. Everybody knows that. And so this is basically, that's it. And the second one is, of course, what New York Times actually described. Even these morons actually cannot hide this anymore, is that, these are two of the biggest, as they call it, so-called intelligence agencies, are fighting rival Ukrainian intelligence units open fire against each other in Kyiv. President Vladimir Zelensky described the shootout on the streets of Ukrainian capital as an absolutely shameful event, an audit investigation. Sure. First, this is not the first time. Secondly, it was the fight between the scumbags from SBU and GUR, which are essentially terrorist organizations nowadays, and they were trying to get one of them. I don't remember which one. SBU, GUR, I don't really, I'm not a specialist in the times of the excrement. And so they were taking one of these guys, he's Russian, by the way, who is in charge of the RDK, which is a Russian volunteer corps. It's a neo-Nazi organization which fights against Russia, and which also, together with all those so-called intelligence people, I'm pretty sure the CIA and MI6, which curate them, they're also involved in this because, yeah, hey, payouts are good. They are running the call centers, which essentially do extortion and of the money from primarily pensioners in Russia and all over the world. World, by the way, it's a $1 billion actually organization, which, can you imagine, they're good money. So they are not independent in many respects. They are actually a part of this so-called lack of intelligence network, which is well controlled by all kinds of the intelligence organization from the West, from NATO. So in this case, that's a really funny thing, but it tells you actually the full decomposition of what is going on there in terms of the political regime. And so when you look at that, and especially when you look attentively at the development of the Russian offensives on several operational axes, and we'll talk about it, you begin to ask yourself a question, what the hell is going on? Well, what can I say? We'll start with that. And Vladimir Putin, Zelensky threatened every airline in Russian airspace. President Vladimir Putin has called the Ukrainian leader's statement a declaration of state terrorism. Remember, Zelensky stated that essentially that no aircraft, civilian aircraft, is safe in Russian airspace, including the international flights, which Russia still get a lot of international flights, ranging from China to Vietnam to Turkey. Turkey is flying very actively, so all kinds of the Emirates actually fly there too. And so what is the Ukrainian military has been ramping up long-range drone and missile attacks. That's also another statement which needs to be put in perspective. Against civilian infrastructure targets deep inside Russia, the strikes have repeatedly disrupted the work of civilian airports. Yes, they did. And very often, just because of the safety measures, Russia stops flying of the aircraft in and out of airports for some period of time before the those strikes are repelled and drones are shut down. But so what Vladimir Putin stated that, responding to what is the statement of this criminal Zelensky, safe days in Russia's skies are over, Zelensky claimed, to the airlines currently flying to airports primarily in Moscow, St. Petersburg, and other key destinations. And so Vladimir Putin stated that it is obviously declaration of state terrorism, and then he added this famous phrase, which actually has been basically demonstrated time after time after time in all kinds of the operations and wars, and this, we do not negotiate with terrorists. So what does it mean? Well, Zelensky is the dead man walking one way or another. He is surrounded with the thugs from SAS and all those MI6 and probably CIA. And so he will be off the moment, you know, things begin to crumble completely, which are they beginning to crumble. And so this is the act of desperation. But again, you have to remember, Zelensky doesn't act completely on his own. He is supported by London, Berlin, and Paris. And here is the critical thing, which many people do not understand, and it was repeated, but again, you have to understand, especially for people in, comments, there are many trolls, there are many, hidden Ukrainians or 77th Brigade from MI6 London, who write all kinds of the ridiculous comments like, oh yeah, Russia should never, you know, does anything about red lines. Russia never used even the term red lines. It was important by this media horse from the West. But what is important here to understand, Russia acts and continues to act actually strictly within the Geneva Convention. And this is not as simple as they think that, oh yeah, let's go and kill Zelensky. Vladimir Putin himself stated very clearly that we can kill him, but we need somebody to sign basically unconditional surrender. And so what is happening then? Well, you have to understand, and when you look also at those videos and those reports now from Ukraine, which not indicate, they prove, it's an empirical proof, the huge pile of it, that Ukraine is being not only just deindustrialized, it's being de-economized, if you wish, and Ukraine will not have the economy very soon. It's already paralyzed on many respects, and in terms of transportation and production of steel and things of this nature. But the point is that even there, per Geneva Convention, you are allowed to strike so-called civilian targets, which are used directly in support of the combat activities of the war. Well, guess what? Ukrainian storage facilities, depots, and all those shopping malls, each time something flies in, boy, you're like those cockroaches, you know what? whatever the bees and wasps from this their nests, when once you apply proper chemicals, they begin to fly out of there, and all them armed, and for some reason you have those military people there, because obviously they use all kinds of those facilities, well, to hide their ammo depots, and like it was happened in the Vishnyova and Mila, especially recently. So yeah, they are legitimate targets. Do civilian people die there? Yes, but Russians warned after the Starobelsk that now, if you do not run from those vicinities of those facilities, so to speak, or those installations, sorry, it's just the way it is. And this is all perfectly within Geneva Convention. So in this case, as I already stated, Russians do it deliberately. And unlike their American counterparts, which do that actually, well, also deliberately, but in a completely different way. And even New York Times, but it's not just only New York Times, it's everywhere, all over the place, which is called, in small Iranian town, a U.S. attack turns a wedding into a tragedy. The bomb that hit their residential area was American, according to four weapons experts and visual analyst by the Times. It killed five people and wounded 67 others, the Iranian authorities said. Well, looks like the proud tradition of the U.S. military bombing of the civilian weddings from Afghanistan to Iraq to Iran now continues. And here is the issue. Well, Russians deliberately and very stringently, well, basically follow the rules of the war. What is happening there? Well, what is happening there, you have to understand, this is the shock and awe. And shock and awe in the American military doctrine, essentially, while not speaking openly, it was always about, you know, scaring the population, demoralizing it, in order for them to not resist. Well, Iran is a different country. In fact, is they, while doing this, committing this atrocity and war crime against Iranian civilians, they merely make solidify Iranian society even more. And as a result, you already heard what happened in, well, essentially, Kuwait, the obvious situation with the Bahrain, the Jordan. Now we have the all kinds of the very interesting things which are happening there. And for some reason, a lot of medevac helicopters. But of course, we, as you know, well, nobody will tell us that there were any casualties. So, but that is what is happening. And when you look attentively at the poor Lincoln, and let me tell you, I really sympathize with the guys. Listen, it's a military thing. It's a naval thing. If, when you are at, for 9 months without any kind of proper, supplies, especially since the U.S. Navy base, main base of the Fifth Fleet in Bahrain, including all of its supply facilities, have been destroyed. United States have been evicted from the Persian Gulf. What's left? Well, not good. And make no mistake, ships do rust. Everybody's ships rust. If you are a long time in the sea, you do rust. So there is sometimes under combat conditions, and this is the first time when American aircraft carriers since World War II face actual combat conditions, they are, how to put it politely, they're really not facing combat conditions. They stay away from the range of the missiles because, obviously, who knows. But when you look attentively at what happened to the personnel of those poor guys, I mean, and especially when you look at what their parents say, and there are registered loss of the weight of 30 pounds, you're not going to get your personnel if you're a responsible commander. And I'm pretty sure that commanders of the aircraft carriers and the destroyers, they are responsible, well-educated and well, you know, basically well-prepared people. When you have your personnel losing up to 30 pounds of weight because there's no real food there, it's horrible, and they lose calories. I mean, I'm not going to put the cradle outside there trying to patch up those rust things and paint them over cover or remove the rust. You can do that also sometimes if you have cradles and a proper equipment, which of course aircraft carriers do. No, I will be conserving the energy to at least carry out some kind of the whatever watches and duties when they are participating in this so-called operation. So, I mean, yeah, it's a unsightly thing, but the point is that at least they got now to Thailand, and so Thailand now performing itself very interesting. Well, basically, they stating a very interesting position that they shouldn't go to Pattaya because of the prostitution. Well, Pattaya is not for prostitution. Let the guys go and have fun, for crying out loud. But no, they won't basically perform that. Say that, well, Thailand is such a moral country. Well, we know what Thailand is, okay? So, but let the guys have fun. Let the guys, you know, you basically release the steam, if you wish. But the situation, obviously, is much more serious than it may appear. And, well, it's the Hexet and Trump's Pentagon. And evidently, as Colonel Larry Wilkerson correctly stated, there is a huge unease in the middle level that are the senior officers, which are captains, you know, and things like that in the U.S. military, not only in Navy, in Army too, especially in Army. And so we have this situation, while what is happening elsewhere, well, obviously in this special military operation, how to put it? Oh, my gosh. So let's take a look at our traditional dynamics of the losses. So it was yesterday, as you can see yourself, dramatic drop in the drones attacks from the Ukrainian side, and I will explain to you why it is. So that's why they are not really ramping up. They are actually declining in many respects. So they repeat, obviously, much larger attack today, but here is the issue. As you can see yourself, there also the amount of the number of the KIAs kind of ticks up a little bit, and so it's now 1500. And we're gonna do the some play with the maps for you to understand what is happening. Apart from, of course, the demolition of the Ukrainian economy and seizing of the transportation up 90%, and all other nasty things. For example, just to kind of give you a little bit of the heads up, Russians are launching those, they call it Starlink. Russian Starlink. Well, it's more than just Starlink. And Russians, this is called the grouping Rasvet. As you remember, Mr. Sibiga, foreign minister of the of Ukraine, demanded that Russians do not launch those Rasvet, or they have to be disabled over Ukraine. Why? Well, simple as that. As have been already officially stated now, it was, basically stated from the official sources in Russia, Rasvet is more than just communications broadband satellite, which communicate with each other, including the lasers. They are also there to kill off Starlink if the necessity arises. So these are much more comprehensive, space systems. And so Russians continue to basically put them into orbit. And now, in terms of their broadband communication, for example, over Russia, they are more than 2 hours. They provided, and obviously this time frame will be expanding. And so these are just one of those things. And there are all kinds of things have been presented, laser systems, combat lasers and things of this nature. But if we kind of abstract from those statements and revelations, here is what is important. We go to our good friends Marat Khairulin and Colonel Popov. And I want to start from a few days back. And again, to stress what is happening, as you can see yourself in the red. Russians are already in the southern part of Orekhov, and once you see what Orekhov is, and you can see yourself that's also circled in red, this basically, well, kamikaze attacks of Ukrainian forces with the Russians moving at the outskirts of Zaporozhye, and they just kill their personnel and equipment, simple as that. And so why Orekhov is important? If you take a look at the basically scheme of the whole area, which is Zaporozhye, and you take a look at, here it is, here's another scheme. This is very important. Russians are closing their flank, so to speak. Once this flank, which is taken, liberation of Orekhov, is closed, and Orekhov will be liberated pretty soon, as you can see yourself, the fight is inside the city. So the flank will be kind of, you know, evened out, and it's kind of becomes the straight line. You secure your right flank, and you can start moving towards Zaporozhye, closer and closer to the basically outskirts of Zaporozhye. And it's not just Zaporozhye, of course, you have to understand. We now can, well, clearly state that the liberation of the Slavyansk-Kramatorsk agglomerations has started. These are yesterday's maps, as you can see yourself, and that's your Slavyansk, as you can see yourself, and basically the operation from the north has begun. And even if you look attentively at the scale of the things, you can see yourself that, these are few kilometers here and there, and in reality, there is no chance for the last of the grouping of the, which is the strongest of the, whatever is remaining from the armed forces of Ukraine, to offer any kind of resistance which will have any kind of the operational, let alone strategic impact or effect. So, and the operation has started, obviously, and it's just a matter of time before the obviously the rest of it will be liberated. And after that, there is a pretty much one huge long field which you cannot even grab onto any kind of the piece of land there to offer any kind of the resistance which will be meaningful. And you cannot hide. Again, you begin to lose all those what is called the forest strips. I mean, they're still there, some of them, but it's not as basically dense. And it of course the parts of terrain which are pretty flat, actually, unlike it is the case with the Kramatorsk, Druzhkovka-Kramatorsk and Slavyansk agglomeration, where you still have some hills, you have still have some heaps of the, what is called the remnants of the coal mining and things of this nature, and you have all kinds of the creeks and small rivers. Now, after that, you just basically straight shot at Pavlograd and Dnepropetrovsk. And those people who still retain any kind of their, connection to the reality in Pentagon, they understand that. After that, I mean, what are you going to do? You're going to run, and Russians will end up at Dnepropetrovsk. So, and then, of course, the rest of the operations will intensify, be them in Sumy or Kharkov, or Kharkov Oblast, or, of course, retaking Zaporozhye and Kherson. Kherson, essentially, Kherson has been actually without electricity for a while, and the pulverization of the what is called PVDs, which are the points of the temporary location or disposition of the enemy forces have been, my gosh. And here's another thing, and you will not find it in the Western media. They have no courage and integrity to put it, because they were lying for so long, including all those fanboy sites like, 1945 or Task and Purpose, whatever. Russian aviation actually now using the FABs on Odessa, those who do not understand. That means what? They better learn, because they never encountered anything like this. It's called the suppression of the enemy air defense. Real SEAD. Well, United States military didn't encounter real enemy air defense, be them in terms of the capable air force, let alone the developed network system of the air defense on the ground. So unless, of course, they think that this American Civil War type air defense in Iraq somehow was integrated air defense. So you have this. Let's be very straightforward, and I already stated it many times. It's professional jealousy. It's professional envy. United States doesn't have experience of doing anything like this. And especially, which I want to stress again, for those morons who still do not get it, and there are many of them, that Russia does it for the strictly within Geneva Convention and the rules of war. There are rules of war. And if you look up the actually the combat manuals of Russian army, everything starts there from the what? Trying to save lives of civilians, no matter which ones. And so, what can I say? And of course, the treatment of the POWs. And so, if you take a look at, again, the picture of this whole thing, what can I say? Mr. Lavrov, obviously, so speaking about what is happening between Russia and, Germany. He called, she's German, obviously, she's Nazi, and he correctly called her West wants to dictate Lavrov on Führer Ursula and NATO drive to divide Eurasia. Well, it's not going to happen. NATO has been paraded as the, well, essentially paper tiger. And so what we have now, obviously, we have even the former, press secretary changed the tune. Well, so Vladimir Zelensky's threat to Russia will greatly worsen the situation of Ukrainians, his former press secretary Yulia Mendel wrote on the social network X. He continues to fuel war despite the fact that Ukrainians are paying an increasingly high price, publication says. The day before yesterday, as you know, it would be unsafe for Russian and international aircraft in the Russian airspace, which is terrorism. So, I mean, what can I say? That's what the West wants. That's what, if you take a look, for example, from this pathetic bunch of creeps from Germany. Here's the German, well, he is not really ambassador, he's some kind of whatever they represent, high representative. He has been called in Russian Ministry of Foreign Affairs regarding this ridiculous so-called false flag in Leipzig airport. And Russian reporters were trying to ask him what is going on. He said, you burned all bridges, you know, between us, really. And so after that, he didn't even respond to the question about what is the, you know, what happening in Leipzig. He blames Russians. That's fine. I see no problem with Russia actually breaking off any kind of the relations with Germany. And you have to understand, the only reason it has to be, it must be actually reduced, the diplomatic representation of Russia in Germany. And so Russia will be closing those Goethe institutes. I mean, to learn about culture, what? Russians know everything there is to know about German culture, and they absorbed and internalized the best of it. So those Goethe institutes do nothing other than promoting all kinds of the perverse agendas. And so it's good for closing them. The only thing Russia will need for now is to have the consular services between Germany, because obviously there are still some Russian Germans and German Germans who want to get to Russia. Some are returning back for the permanent residence. Other just, you know, want to study and learn things about it. But for the most part, yeah, especially Western Germany, they will continue to vote for Nazis, and they hate Russian gods. Again, I want to forestall, again, majority of Germans, especially Western Germans, especially, they hate Russian gods. And so in this case, you cannot just basically go around there pretending that nothing happens. I've been a long-time advocate from my very little small position of the influencer, if you want to call it that, author, you know, so a writer, all Russian Red Army cemeteries must be removed, from Europe together with their monuments. So Europe doesn't deserve the remnants of people who saved it from Nazism, because Europe is returning back to its normal roots. And here is the issue. So when we talk about this terrorism and everything, you think that Ukraine does this in isolation? No, it is supported by Europe. And so anybody who believes in this, fairy tales, but we are brainwashed. We do not know. If we would know the truth, we would be different. Nope. You won't. Well, some little part of your society might swing back to the common sense. The rest of it will be brainwashed, and they will hate Russian gods the same as the Nazis hated them. So simple as that. And all those protestations, fine, I understand. I'm doing sweeping generalization here. But it's a very close, this sweeping generalization is very close to the truth. And so that is why people have to understand there is the state of war between Europe and Russia. Remarkably, Mr. Rubio, he went on record and he pretty much stated what I state nonstop. Hey, Marco Rubio said what I've been saying for very many years now, that Russian and American relations are privileged. They're privileged not because the United States is good or, you know, Russians don't know what United States today is. No, because these are two nuclear superpowers, and then Marco Rubio stated, visit of Ratcliffe, CIA director to Moscow, was good in a sense that, and he stated that we have to have contact always, no matter what is going on. And I agree with him. These are two nuclear superpowers, and God forbid they go at each other's throats, the world and human civilization will end. That's the difference. Pure Europe can die out tomorrow, and well, with the exception of the Airbus and probably some touristy places, nobody will notice. Well, you have to, you know, archives from Vatican, some, you know, Louvre, you know, treasures and things of that nature. But no, this is what Europe is. And Mr. Sanchez, as I already stated, he blames Russians for the crisis, which they essentially sold out Spain to all those people from Africa, and you know, and so. So that's what Europe is. You had the chance. It's over now. Submit to your fate. Your fate is to basically being, well, disappeared, actually, as the viable nations. And so no matter what you do, the same as in the United States, we cannot vote out from this anymore. This is a very different state of the affairs. Now, so what can I say? If you put together all those things, you know, suddenly we have this very interesting reaction. In conclusion, Belgium blocks latest EU push to seize Russian assets. Europeans are poor, realistically, and so they will be getting poorer and poorer until maybe, I don't know, but whatever. And so several member states have revived calls to sequester the frozen assets to support cash-strapped Ukraine. Belgium has rejected an attempt, look at this, attempt by Sweden, Poland, Spain, and the Netherlands to resurrect the EU plan to seize frozen Russian assets to finance Ukraine. And so suddenly Belgium, which contains obviously clearinghouse, and they know the Belgium will be absolutely smashed with the very bad situation, let's put it this way. This is non-negotiable, Defense Minister Theo Franken told VRT on the weekend. That door is closed. So, well, Ukraine needs immediately 30 billion euros, but where can Europe get it? Nowhere but stealing everything Russian. That's what they have been all about. Their idea to break up Russia is to basically get hands on the resources, which Europe doesn't have, because Europe realistically is poor and it's returning back to its poor state. And so what do we have then? Well, Belgium suddenly recognized that we cannot allow to do this. And they were stating that the consequences will be devastating for both Europe and especially Belgium. So in this case, whatever they say, you know what, they will probably steal that money, because that's what Führer Ursula and her bunch of the insane chihuahuas, both of the female and male, well, in male thing in Europe is a kind of fuzzy thing, cuckolds, actually, they want to get their hands on those money, because they don't have themselves those things. And so, well, will they pursue it? Yes, they will continue to do all kinds of nasty stuff, you know, like barking, like seizing their scientific vessel, which it's not seizing, really. I mean, they try to seize it. That's the whole other story. But again, for those people those trolls which will come out and immediately demand immediate action, let's bomb Norway and things like that. No. This is not how it works. And that's why, for example, British papers are mourning now that Russian Navy is well concentrated number of ships patrolling around the United Kingdom. Yes, this is to make sure that no Russian tanker or no Russian vessel is ever, you know, boarded again and seized. So, but that's the situation. And that's what I wanted to tell you guys today. And as always, those who like what I do, please subscribe to my channel. And those who can afford, please support me on Patreon or buy me a coffee or two. I would really appreciate this. I also am on Substack. You can go to Substack and actually support me there. So what can I say? Have a nice rest of your week, and I'll talk to you later, guys. Bye-bye.